This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today the Church celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit of God descended upon Christ's followers on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was an ancient Jewish festival, the harvest of the first fruits. Strange, isn't it, how the crucifixion of Jesus also fell on a feast, the Passover, the festival of the lamb that was sacrificed. What coincidences! The Old Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit, in times long ago, fell upon and empowered individuals, kings, leaders and prophets. So what happened at Pentecost was truly unique, for the Holy Spirit fell on all the believers and not just the selected few. The Old Testament prophet Joel had spoken of this in his day, saying, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And so the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in power, on the day of Pentecost, in tongues of flame, with the sound of a rushing wind, and with God-given foreign languages. Those who received could not keep the good news of Jesus' resurrection power to themselves. What they received from the Holy Spirit that day was intoxicating, exhilarating, yet joyous. Those who'd been in the upper room hurried out into the streets, speaking the many different languages they'd been given, and began praising and worshipping God. And their languages were recognized by people from all over the world. Some outside accused them, though, of being drunk. So immediately we hear of some negative reactions to these supernatural gifts which Jesus' followers had been given. Even today, people remain suspicious of things that cannot easily be explained away. And to be quite honest, the Christian Church on the whole has remained wary, too, of the use of such gifts as prophecy and tongues, never really encouraging their use. But at Pentecost and in the early church, these gifts, along with healing, were valuable tools for outreach, which would catch the crowd's attention. Suddenly, people wanted to know more of the things of God. What happened here was God's power descending. The Greek word for power, dunamis, is where our word dynamite comes from. Shall we listen to Audrey Assad singing Spirit of the Living God?
O Spirit of the Living God, thou light and fire divine, descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Fill up with love and joy and power, with righteousness and peace, till Christ shall dwell in human hearts and sin and sorrow.
As I said, Jews from countries all over the known world had been present at this important festival of first fruits, and they were both astonished and confused at what they were seeing and hearing. How could these rough Galileans be speaking languages they recognized? But then Peter stood up to preach and explain what was going on. And filled with the Spirit of God, he did not hold back and accused the crowd of executing God's anointed one, his chosen one, Jesus. He said to them, "You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Bold words indeed coming from Peter, who not all that long before had three times denied even knowing Jesus to save his own skin. Peter continued preaching, opening the people's minds to ancient prophecies about Jesus, which had been fulfilled concerning his death and resurrection. His words were not all accusatory. He gave the crowd a chance to put things right and save and absolve themselves from their crime. People in the crowd began begging him, "What can we do to be saved?" And Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Such words are surely for our generation too. At the end of this beautiful hymn sung by Kristen Getty, I'll be reading an extract of one person's experience of a modern-day Pentecost. Many Christians right across the globe experience this today.
Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole.
Here is that Pentecost story. Put the Hoover down, go into the bedroom and pray. I remember it as if it were yesterday. Where did those words in my head come from? Was it simply my imagination or wishful thinking? Or could these words actually be from God inviting me to pray? On the other hand, were such words really the kind of language an all-powerful God would use to get someone's attention? I very much doubted it at that point in my life. Surely my mind was playing tricks. So I continued hoovering. But a few seconds later, quite out of the blue, that same command came to me again. Put the Hoover down, go into the bedroom and pray. I stood still for a moment, reasoning that if this really was God, wouldn't he be using a few these and thous? And should there not be a holier place to call someone to than the small bedroom next to a kitchen? But then again, wasn't this the way God spoke to people in times of old, when they were doing some mundane task and their brains weren't particularly active? I dismissed the words for a second time, for I was just an ordinary person, and certainly not important enough for God to address me. And so once more I carried on cleaning the carpet so everything would be spick and span by the time my husband got home. I turned my thoughts to what I would cook later on once school was over. But then a third time, when my mind was still, that voice sounded out once more. Put the Hoover down, go into the bedroom and pray. This time the words seemed more emphatic, more urgent. Oh my goodness, I thought. Now I'm hearing voices, first signs of going crazy. And yet I seemed to sense that if I ignored the command this time, I wouldn't hear the voice again. I felt annoyed, but strangely curious, so I flicked the Hoover switch to the off position. All right then, I'm going, I said, as I didn't have all that much time left of my lunch hour. I stomped into the bedroom and knelt down to pray by the blanket box, which was in front of the main window, thinking, well, I've got to give this a try. What harm will one little prayer do anyway? And I remember praying out loud, right, you've got me here. Now, what is it you want? God? Adding the word God on at the end was my way of showing at least some respect. But what happened next was the pivotal moment of my entire life. A complete shift in the direction of my life, and everything familiar was about to change. God was about to make himself known to me. As I knelt there, I immediately sensed a person's face leaping into my head, like some coloured slide being put into a projector. It was a very clear picture of someone I disliked intensely and resented. She was someone who'd been making my life difficult. She'd been offhand with me, making up tales about me. There wasn't anyone I disliked more. But was God now asking me to pray for her and bless her? It was then I became aware that my unloving attitude was a blockage to receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and as my prayer for her continued, the anger and resentment inside me evaporated, and by the end of that prayer I was filled with an intense love for her. That's when I felt a golden rain descend upon me, running through me. Nicky Cruz, the gangster mentioned in the book The Cross and the Switchblade, once described how he became a Christian, and he said, God took my heart out suddenly and put it back in again, having kissed it. The next thing to enter my mind was a story from the Bible, Matthew 14, where Jesus, who'd been walking on water, was summoning Peter to walk with him, taking one step at a time on the water. I felt that God was inviting me to take one step out of the boat, to trust him and put my foot on water, to trust him for whatever came next. I remember uttering a single sound. It was the sound tha, and I trusted God to give me another word step by step, like a toddler learning to walk for the very first time. Tha, ra, pa, And miraculously, a new language came effortlessly to my tongue. I could hear the full stops, the pauses, capital letters, sentences, phrases in what I was saying. I stopped, and I began the language again. And the same sounding words came to me all over again. I was, in fact, speaking in the tongues of Pentecost. I had always said to God in my youth, "If you show me you're real, I'll give you my entire life to you. But you've got to show me you're real." I sensed in that moment I was saying goodbye to my old life, and that nothing would be the same again. My life belonged to God now. I now knew he existed and I would live for him. And this day was just the beginning. What had happened at Pentecost in Acts 2, if you read it, had happened to me too. The Bible was real. God was real. Heaven was real. In that spirit of amazement and with tears of joy, I went rushing into school where I taught to tell a friend what had happened. I was so excited, and so was she. I was filled with unimaginable joy. But what would God demand of me? I decided there and then simply to trust God and take one step at a time. From that moment on, I began to live my life centered on what God wanted, following his direction. My life wasn't my own anymore. I know this account is true because I'm the one who tells it to you now.
From this moment on, I raise my hand, my clutching hand to you. My life is in that hand.
Whether our conversion story is as dramatic or whether it's gradual, it doesn't matter. St. Paul in Ephesians 5:18 says we must keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, rather like topping up a wine glass, I imagine. The verb be filled with the Spirit here, so I'm told, is a present tense verb, which means it must be done regularly, continually. It's a command, not a suggestion. That's all we have time for today. May God fill you this Pentecost to overflowing with all power and hope in believing. And so to end our programme today, let's listen to Northumbria Community leading us in a prayer for those of us who would like to rekindle our faith, rededicate ourselves to God, and welcome the Holy Spirit anew. This is Sheila Hamill saying goodbye this week, and my technical assistant would also like to say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Stretch out your